Chapter 3 and Chapter 4 New Words. Belong, verb. When something belongs to you, it is yours. Shoot, shot, verb. Use a gun. Petrol, noun. You put petrol in a car to make it go. An inspector, noun. An inspector checks that everything is clean and safe. A torch, noun. A light that you carry. A pit, noun. A hole in the ground. A rope, noun. You use a long, strong rope to pull something. Chapter 3. Mr. Victor Hazel. The next Friday, while my father and I were having dinner in our wagon, my father said, "I'd like to go poaching again tomorrow night, Danny. Is that okay?"
"Will you go to Hazel's Wood?" I asked.
"I always go to Hazel's Wood because that's where all the pheasants are," he said. "And I don't like Mr. Hazel, so I enjoy poaching his birds. I haven't forgotten the way that he spoke to you." Now, I must stop here and tell you about something that happened with Mr. Hazel. Mr. Victor Hazel was a very rich man, and he owned all the land around us. The only thing that he did not own was the field behind our wagon. That belonged to my father. It was like a little island in the middle of Mr. Hazel's land, and Mr. Hazel did not like that. He wanted to own everything. Mr. Hazel was horrible to anyone who did not have a lot of money. He loved to go shooting with other rich people, and he had lots of big parties where everyone wore expensive clothes. Every day, he drove his enormous car past our garage, and he always looked at us angrily. One day, Mr. Hazel drove his big car into our garage and said to me, "Put some petrol in my car and do it quickly." Then he pointed at me. "And if you make my car dirty, you'll be in big trouble," he said. "I'll step out of this car and hit you." My father ran out of the garage and put his face close to the window of Mr. Hazel's car. "Don't speak to my son like that," he said. His voice was dangerously soft. He didn't do anything. Mr. Hazel did not speak, and he did not look at my father. But he had a horrible little smile on his face. "Go away, please," said my father. "We don't want you at our garage." Mr. Hazel's big car drove away. The next day, an inspector arrived outside our door. He said,
"I'm here to see if your wagon is a safe place for people to live. We don't allow people to live in dirty old places."
My father opened the door to our wagon, which was always clean and warm. The man could not find anything that was wrong with it. Soon after that, another inspector arrived and said,
"I'm here to check that you're not selling bad petrol."
My father told me, "Some people mix water into their petrol, then they can make more money." Of course, we were not selling bad petrol. After that, an inspector came to visit us almost every week. Mr. Hazel was an important man in our village, and we knew that he was sending the inspectors to our wagon. He was trying to make our lives difficult because he did not like us and he wanted our land. So now you can understand why my father enjoyed poaching Mr. Hazel's pheasants. The next day, my father was excited from the moment that he woke up. It was a Saturday, so I was not at school, and during the day, we fixed a car together.
"I'm going to leave just before 6 o'clock, my father said while we worked. "Then I'll get to the woods as it's starting to get dark. That's the best time to arrive, because it's not easy for the keepers to see you."
"Why don't you wait until it's really dark?" I asked. "Then it will be even harder for them to see you."
"If I do that, I won't catch anything," he said. "The pheasants all fly up into the trees and go to sleep when it's really dark."
"When will you be back?" I asked.
"I promise that I'll be back before 10:30, he said. "Are you sure that you'll be okay here alone?"
"Yes," I said. "But how about you, Dad? I'm worried about the keepers and their guns."
"Don't worry about me," he said, and he put his arms around me. My father became more and more excited as the day went on. At 6 o'clock, he kissed me. "Don't stay awake waiting for me, Danny," he said. I watched him as he walked down the road. I loved the way that he moved with big, long steps. I waved until he disappeared around the corner. After he left, I went back inside the wagon and tried to do my homework. But I could not stop thinking about my father, so I decided to go to bed. I went to sleep quickly, and when I opened my eyes again, I looked at the clock on the wall. It was 2:10.
2:10?
I jumped up and looked at my father's bed. It was empty. My father was still not back. I suddenly felt afraid.
"Something has happened to my father," I thought.